This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106.1. It's 9:03 and time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Gerald's Auto Body in Litchfield. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this lovely Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. It's a wonderful Saturday morning across mid-Illinois in Virginia.
A resort-like. How many degrees, Dave?
41.
A balmy 41 degrees.
Spring's
here.
Spring's right around the corner.
Yes.
But it's cold and chilly in Virginia today, boy.
Well, there's a lot of other bad juju going on in Virginia, too.
UMBC.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Neighbors.
What's that?
Neighboring states.
Oh, boy. Talk about bragging rights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a huge rivalry.
It is now.
Just remember when Austin Peay beat Illinois and how bad you felt? Can you imagine what Virginia feels like this
morning? You know what, honestly, was my first thought last night when Virginia had lost? I thought back to when they had Ralph Sampson and they lost to Chaminade, the D3 school out of Maui, which basically spawned the great Maui Invitational, which is one of the great early season tournaments of college basketball. But now, that's Virginia basketball's two claims to fame.
Yeah.
You lost to Chaminade with Ralph Sampson, and you're the first one to lose to a 16. And it wasn't even a buzzer beater. They got manhandled.
20 points.
Blown out.
It reminded me a lot, and it's not the same thing at all, but it reminded me a lot of when Georgetown lost to Florida Gulf Coast a couple years ago, because that was a game at the end of the second half. I mean, it wasn't close.
you expect those games to come down to like a buzzer beating, like nail-biter finish, and about... Well, for me personally, watching that game, about 5 minutes into the second half, it was like, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
They're in trouble.
You texted me. I was in bed, and I got up. I got up and turned it on.
Isn't it funny? Sometimes you're watching a game, and even when we're broadcasting games, you kind of have a feeling that, you know, somebody's going to lose tonight that probably shouldn't lose. And it happens.
It happens. That's exactly right. Suddenly, Arizona feels a lot better. No one's going to remember that they lost.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like Mizzou a few years ago when they lost to Norfolk State as the two seed, and then Duke hours later lost to Lehigh.
Yeah, we know what the lead story was.
Right.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Oh. But, I mean, that's the beauty of basketball. It's why everybody fills out the brackets. It's why it's such a massively fun time this entire month of March. And we see it year after year spill in to the high school level, certainly in this great state of Illinois with America's original March Madness. And the 3A and 4A state title games are set for today. And Terry, to me, this is what the state basketball tournament in Illinois is all about. You've got public league versus powerhouse Southern teams in both the 3A and the 4A finals. This is going to be a great banner day of basketball
in Peoria. And the thing of it is, if you could guarantee this sort of thing every year, I think the tournament would continue to prosper as the years go along. And but you can't always guarantee the North versus South matchup, the public league versus, you know,
we had it in the 1A-2A last week. We got it again this week. And this has felt like a vintage type of postseason tournament so far for the IHSA in terms of the basketball. And when you've got Springfield Southeast against Morgan Park, 1-2.
Yeah.
You got Belleville West versus Chicago Whitney Young. I'm not sure what their state rankings are. Belleville West hasn't lost to an Illinois team.
Well, Whitney Young's a defending champion in 4A, and Morgan Park's a defending champion in 3A. So
Chicago already defended their championship in 2A.
Yeah, so it's a great matchup, and the games were good yesterday for the Springfield Southeast Spartans and for Belleville West. So
Jay Liddell, oh my gosh, set the state record for blocks in a game.
Yeah,
7
through three quarters.
right.
Yeah,
he looked like a man amongst boys.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he looked that dominant.
He looked like a McLean.
Sergio McLean
as a senior.
I mean, yeah.
Just, you know, like, wow, why is this guy not in a, you know, uniform or professional uniform?
He's the best player up here this weekend, and I don't know that second place is really all that close. And he's only a junior.
Yeah.
He's just a junior.
Yeah. So basketball is very, very good. And then the tournaments have been very good this year for the IHSA.
And, you know, we talk about, you and I, Terry, maybe more than some people around these parts.
Yeah.
We like the Chicago Public League.
Oh, yeah.
We really
enjoy it. That's the best basketball around.
It's the best basketball in this state. The brand, just the style they play. It's wildly entertaining. And I think today we are going to get a good example of what the public league is, because a lot of times when the public league teams get to state, maybe there's been some upsets along the way, so the teams that they have to face at the state tournament might not be top flight.
Sure.
Not today. Southeast is ranked second in the state. I mean, when you watch them play, they can play with anybody. The style they play is public league-esque.
Yes.
I mean, so they're not going to be afraid to get out and run. They're not going to get back on their heels with big, you know, blocks, you know, big momentum-changing plays. It's not going to affect them like it might affect some other teams. And then you've got Belleville West in 4A, just a powerhouse, a loaded team who expects to be in this game. So I am really looking forward to these matchups today.
The thing that I get comment-wise is the fact that, well, I wish it was the way it used to be. Well, the way it used to be, even in the two-class system, Chicago only got one representative out of the eight teams on the quarterfinals. Now, 99% of the schools are in Chicagoland. So, you know, if you only have one representative, that certainly wasn't fair all those years to have one representative out of eight teams. So, to see the influx of the Chicago Public League and more public league teams, I think only makes the tournament better as far as the quality of basketball.
I think you're exactly right. And I think that one of the good changes that came from the change in the system, it, back in the day, what you're talking about, I always got the sense that the public league team didn't care about the state tournament.
Yeah.
Like winning the public league city championship, that was the big one. Yeah. And then they would come down state and it kind of was what it was. If they won, they were obviously happy. But if they didn't, it wasn't like a tear-jerking end of the road situation. Now
it means something.
Now it means something. That's especially when you've got them kind of spread out through the classes. So you know that if you're Morgan Park and Whitney Young, you don't want to go back to the city knowing the Chicago Ore is sitting there with their state championship.
That's right. That's right. And I tell you, the games today should be just
top flight.
You know, given everything equal and no major disasters going on for either team, the matchups ought to be just terrific for this, especially for the state championship.
I think the two title games today are what Illinois high school basketball is all about. You're talking about elite level, not just elite high school level, but you're talking about legitimate Division I talent across the board.
The one thing that I didn't realize until Southeast had made it to, you know, the Super Sectional, and they were talking about possibly making their first trip to state, I didn't realize they hadn't been to state.
Shocking.
I mean, for Southeast has had some great basketball teams going, you know, years ago.
But if you think about the way the system used to be, Terry, how many years did they run into Lanphier?
Well, it was, Lanphier. Yes.
And for, you know, we like, for all the talk about the public league and the public, Chicago Public League, I mean, it's nationally known. Springfield City knows how to play some basketball,
too. Yes, they do. And more often than not, Lanphier's been one of those teams that has been a dominating team across the central part of the state and oftentimes statewide.
Yes.
So, and I believe that's who they beat in the regional, wasn't it? Wasn't it Lanphier or was it sectional?
I don't remember if it was regional or sectional, but they beat them somewhere along the line.
So, good luck to Southeast. Good luck to Belleville West.
If they could bring it home, that means three of the four state championships are coming, quote unquote, south.
Yeah, how about that? Below I-80.
A lot of work to be done, though.
Wow.
A lot of work to be done.
I'll be honest with you. Whitney Young is just...
And just my opinion is, I think Southeast has a much better chance against Morgan Park than Belleville West might against Whitney Young. We'll see. Again, Belleville West will have the best player on the floor. And we're going to be talking to Abby Brockmeyer coming up later in the show. But how many times when we were talking about Abby through her high school career did we say, hey, when you've got the best player on the floor,
good things happen.
You've got a chance.
That's right. That's right. So we will be talking to the Missouri Valley Conference Freshman of the Year.
How about that, huh?
That's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. So.
And I mean, really, I don't think she started every game. She might have had a couple games where she didn't start, but she played massive minutes in every game. She was top five on the team in minutes. I think she wound up being their leading rebounder. She averaged double-digit points for the year. I mean, she just had a banner year.
And the aggressiveness is one thing I've noticed as far as the difference, you know, you're playing, you know, better competition, and you have to be more aggressive, and Abby was more aggressive this year. So.
Like watching her play, and we got to watch quite a few of her games on the ESPN3 deal, she never looked out of place.
No.
You know, she never looked like she was out of her element. She looked like she just belonged. And then it's one of those deals, if you didn't know her, you think, wait, she's a freshman?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Really?
Huh.
And she's coming back with three more years? Are you kidding me?
They got, of course, the whole freshman class this year with Mackenzie Sylvie from Edwardsville, and they had a pretty highly touted freshman class coming in. I think they've kind of stacked that up with what they have coming in next year, and who knows, by the time Abby gets to be an upperclassman, they might be a really tough handle there in the Missouri Valley.
Well, I think that's the plan. That is, they've made no bones about it that, you know, here in a couple years, they want to be, conference champions, and they want to be able to go to the NCAA and do their things.
So. And what they did this year is a great foundation for that. Cause, I mean, they really held their own in the league and made a nice little run there in the conference tournament. So, I mean, all their goals are right there in front of them.
Oh, yeah. And they've got the talent. And, you know, Abby plays AAU ball with these gals that are her teammates. And so they're very familiar with each other, and good things tend to happen.
Right, so we'll talk to Abby coming up at about 9:45 this morning here on Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, we're going to shift gears here and talk a little junior high at the moment, and we're going to have a conversation about the IESA volleyball tournament in a moment. But Terry, some exciting wrestling news.
Yes, a week ago, a young man from Carlinville, Jake Schwartz, finished seventh in the state finals at the Illinois Kids Wrestling Federation state tournament. And it's been a while since the Carlinville Wrestling Club has had somebody finish that high, it's kind of like the IESA, but they tend to bring in a lot more kids. And to finish seventh in the state in his class was pretty terrific. And the Carlinville Wrestling Club is coached by David Doherty and Tim Dixon. And I failed to bring in my cheat sheet, but there have been some great athletic names that wrestled for Carlinville. Ended up playing football and wrestling, you know, so to have a top 10 finish, a 7th place finish for Jake Schwartz, congratulations to Jake. That was a week ago in Rockford, and we wish him the best of luck as his career moves along.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty terrific.
You know, sometimes people do get confused with Carlinville and basketball. Like, well, what goes on? And I usually tell them, well, a lot of the great kids you see on the football field wrestle.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. That's part of the deal. Also, Tim, just to kind of switch gears, let's talk academic athletics and the Scholastic Bowl. Southwestern finished third in the state tournament yesterday. Williamsville placed first, and that was the only team that Southwestern lost to. Byron was second, Southwestern third, and fourth place to Moroa Forsyth. So congratulations to the Birds finishing third in the state for the Scholastic
Bowl. There you go. That's the state hardware you really want to bring.
Well, I tell you, remember when Litchfield won, we had the kids in here a couple times, and they were never flustered. We threw questions at him, and not a big deal. Yeah.
That's right. And thank goodness our Trivia Bowl matchup never came up. We never had to absorb that beatdown. We moved along from that.
You just got to have the right Trivia Bowl people on your team.
That's the key. You got to know the questions and know your personnel.
That's right. If it's music, you want Tom Williams, right? Or movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, anything trivia. If you got Tom on your team, you got a good chance.
Yeah, Tom's our trivia guy. So
yes, he is. A couple weeks ago, the IESA had their volleyball tournament. Of course, Staunton had a very nice showing, and we're going to have an interview with their coach coming up. But there was an odd circumstance that happened, and it really deserves discussing on this year platform, on this radio program. Quarterfinal round, Staunton is playing Mooseville? Moose Heart, what was it? Mossville.
Mossville.
They're playing
in the quarterfinals.
Mossville is winning 15-10. There's a timeout on the floor. Timeout is taken. So they're in the timeout. They're doing their thing. They come out of the timeout. All of a sudden, Staunton's winning 13-12. Well, what has happened here? There's been no volleyball played, but the score has changed. Mossville's not keeping their own book. Staunton is. Staunton tells the IESA people, hey, the score is wrong. This is not right. They were basically told to shut up and play. That's basically what they were told. Sit down, shut up, and play. We'll take care of it. So, okay. So they did.
Wow.
Staunton goes on to win the game, advance in. Turns out, after video replay from people that were videoing the match, Mossville actually won the match. I think it was like, they actually should have won like 25-19 or something along those lines, but in actuality, they lost 25-23. Now, you're thinking, how can something like this happen? I don't know the answer to that, but Mossville didn't have their own scorekeeper. Had they had their own scorekeeper, the two team scorekeepers would have gotten together, compared their books, and when they matched up, they would have then gone to the official book and said, no, it's wrong.
Yeah.
This is the score. But since they didn't have their own book, there was still recourse. The IESA just elected not to do it. But after the fact, some people were trying to paint Staunton as basically cheaters. Staunton tried to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talk about it all the time. Athletics is just another classroom.
Sure.
You're learning life lessons along the way. Staunton tried to do the right thing. They did all that they could do and were basically rebuffed and said, no, you don't worry about it. It is what it is.
Oh, wow.
So, because the official scorekeeper messed up in epic proportions.
Humans do make errors.
But that's a strange error, is it not?
Well, most errors are.
Well, that's a fair point.
You know.
That's a fair point. But like in a timeout for just five points to just switch sides. Mm. And then for the team that was benefited from it to try to say, no, this isn't right.
You know, demonstrate good sportsmanship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, Staunton, they taught hats off and applause to their coaches for doing the right thing. That's what you hope people will do. Sometimes you get caught up with just trying to win at all costs. Well, hey, the break benefited me. We'll just forget about that and move along. But that's not what they did. And I just wanted to bring that up and just give basically kudos to the Staunton coaches for showing class and sportsmanship in a state series game like that. Even if it would have costed them, they were ready to do the right thing.
Boy.
And they tried. And you had a chance to catch up with their coach.
Yes, we did. And Staunton not only did have his team, you know, in the state tournament in the seventh grade level, they also had a team make it to the sectional level in eighth grade. And here's my interview with the coaching staff. Joining me on WSMI Sports Saturday, Janine Lusico and Katie Bima, two young ladies who are associated with the Staunton Terriers junior high volleyball team. They had a successful season this year. The seventh grade team ended up at state. I believe the eighth grade team bowed out at the sectional tournament. And Janine, this is pretty exciting for the Staunton Terriers volleyball program, isn't it?
This is an amazing start.
I don't know what kind of success has been had in the past, but certainly making noise like they did this year has to generate some excitement for the program.
It's been several years, I think, since they've been to state. I know that my daughter went in 2010. I'm not sure if anybody's gone since then. We bowed out of the sectional last year and with the seventh grade team.
So does the buzz get to going around the seventh and eighth graders when the volleyball team does well?
Yes, the girls are really excited. They don't want the season to end. They asked me if we could still practice. I think I need a little break more than they do.
Boy, you've got the right kind of student athletes, I tell you.
We do.
Oh, and Katie Bima. Katie is your assistant. Katie, you help also, I believe, on the high school level as well, do you not?
Yes, I'm the JV coach.
JV coach. All right. Well, let's talk about the important things as far as making sure that both coaches are on the same page as far as running the program. I suppose that there's no problem here as far as you've decided on a program, you've decided on the method you wanted to use, and it's, you know, all ahead full from there.
Yeah, absolutely. We Janine has coached for many years before she came to Staunton to teach, and she has had many successful seasons, and the first year she was here, she came to watch my oldest daughter play, and I said, we've got to get into this coaching. And it just happened that we were able to get in the next year. Someone resigned, and she was named the head coach, and I was named JV, and we're just having so much fun with it.
And people don't realize how much work there is in preparation in getting a team ready to go, not only for the regular season, but especially in the postseason.
It is crazy how much work we put in. Most people don't realize how much these girls practice. We practice every single night. We don't ever miss a night until at least 5:15. And then we have games mixed into that. These girls are the most dedicated girls that I have. I coached for 16 years, I believe, at Auburn before I came here. And this is one of the most dedicated groups of girls I've had.
And you've got to have some great athletes.
Oh, for sure. Yes, we had quite a few great athletes this year.
Let's talk about some of the kids. Can you name some of the kids that participated this year? Let's go with the seventh grade team here.
We have two captains, Harris and Kennedy Legender. They are cousins. They played middle hitter for us. Amazing leaders, amazing volleyball players. Our setter was Allison Weller. And she was the only setter. We ran a 5-1, and she worked it out. She figured it out and was very successful for us. And then we have Logan Hayes, was a back row specialist. She played back row no matter if she was in the back row or the front row. We ran her back there to play defense. And then we have two sixth-grade starters, which are Kylie Lusico. She played our libero, and she's she hustles more than anybody I know. And Taylor Nolan is also a sixth grader, and she plays outside hitter. She's got tremendous ability, and we look forward to that in the future. And then we had our other outside hitter. We split between Emma Sirocco and Danielle Russell, and they both are up and coming, and they're going to do great things too.
Were these the kind of kids that when practice first started, you kind of got together with Katie and said, you know, we may have something here?
After our first practice, I turned to Katie and I told her, this year we're making it to state. And we kind of gauge Edwardsville as a big rival for us. And when we were able to beat both Edwardsville teams this year, we knew that we had something special.
Yeah. And just like in any other sport, when a smaller school can take on a bigger program like Edwardsville and knock them off, that's huge. It's a confidence builder.
Yeah, we played Liberty at their place, and they were, I think, the better of the two Edwardsville teams. And those girls, it was like, I couldn't even believe it, the stuff that they did in that game. And the Liberty coach, she just had her head, shaking her head. She didn't even know what to do because we were just so confident. We played so well that night and hit the ball in the court and served in the court. Very few errors. It was an exciting game.
So these are the kind of kids that would probably be willing to practice year-round. I mean, you know, 7 days a week if you gave them a chance.
They are, definitely. They are wanting me to look to see if I can't get them in, like a club program or some type of league that they can go play. And so I'm looking into that. But that's every coach's dream, right, is to have athletes like that that want to be there. They really were a group. They built each other up, mm-hmm, instead of tearing each other apart. If somebody made a mistake, they got together. They're like, we got this. We can do this. And they just went from there.
Katie, are these girls, I mean, they're good, obviously good volleyball players. Are they good athletes in other sports as well?
Oh, yes. A lot of softball players. Logan Hayes, Kylie Lusico, Taylor Nolan, Kendi Legender play a softball, mm-hmm, and then Harris Legender is a soccer player. I'm trying to think of the other one. They play school sports. They're constantly, they got a ball all the time.
and coaches oftentimes say that it's great that student athletes play different sports, not just one sport, because it helps them in every sport.
Yes. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I find that some of the best volleyball players also play softball, because a lot of the throwing in softball is how you hit or serve in volleyball. So I find that the more sports you play, the better volleyball player you will be.
All about the footwork, isn't it?
Plus, it makes you more of a team. When they play other sports and they play with other kids, yeah, they really learn how to relate to one another, and they become more of a team. They're more accepting because they play so many sports.
So the trip to the state tournament this year. Has to be one of those fun kind of things to go through. Obviously, you have a regional and then a sectional and then off to state. And I bet you drew a few fans along the way, didn't you?
Our side of the gym was packed at the state tournament. Like I said, I've coached for a lot of years, and I have never made it to the state tournament. And I've coached a lot of amazing teams. So just to make it there was amazing. Like, I don't even know how to describe the words. Like, I just started crying. I could not believe that we had made it there.
I always tell people,
we had a fan bus come with us to the sectional and to all of the state games. Ryan McGowan and Brett Savini brought the kids up there all the way to Downs Tri-Valley, which is near Bloomington.
Yeah.
2 days in a row they came up, so the kids were very supportive.
And
our administrative staff was there, like our principal, Nancy Worden, and our superintendent, Dane Koss. Everybody was supporting us throughout the whole road to state.
And, Coach, you mentioned that you just didn't know how to, you know, the feelings were unbelievable. It's the kind of feelings you'd like to have every year.
It definitely is. Now that I've been, I'm definitely looking to go back again in the near future. Last year, like Katie said, the eighth grade team this year were seventh graders for us last year, and they lost in three, a very close match to Auburn, which coincidentally was the team that I coached for previously. And so we were very close. So the eighth grade group and that seventh grade group, when they come to high school, there's no telling what they're going to do. Yeah.
And this, with the success you've had, it kind of puts a bullseye on your back now for next year, doesn't it?
It does, and yep. I like that.
you do like the pressure of having a bullseye on your back then, huh?
I do. When I coached at Auburn, I coached the varsity volleyball team for 10 years, and I won regionals 9 of the 10 years. So I know what it's like to have a bullseye on my back. I want to be the team that everybody is out to beat.
There you go. Be the team that everybody wants to beat.
And they have been that team for a number of years.
Yes, they have.
And we talk about, you know, certain schools, just for whatever reason, tend to dominate in certain sports. And volleyball and Staunton have really started to go hand-in-hand.
Well, you know, I think Staunton, the junior high team, actually won the Carlinville tournament this year. So right there, you've got the likes of Carlinville. You got Edwardsville team playing at it. You know, that's not too shabby.
No,
so
works.
So you've got something cooking there. So good luck to the Terriers and soon to be Bulldogs.
Look out for them. They're going nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So
if you're planning on going to the Auburn Hillsborough baseball game today, you don't have to go anywhere.
Nope.
Been canceled.
Nope. We could recreate one right here.
Ooh, old school at these two back in the early days of radio?
Yes, like President Reagan used to.
That's right. No, that's right.
The story is he used to get information off a ticker, just a little piece of paper. And it would be like ball one. And then he'd have to ad lib around it. And I can remember President Reagan telling the story that, and he used to do the Cubs games, on the station out of what, Dixon or, I believe it was Dixon, somewhere where, close to where he was born. And the ticker went down.
Uh-oh.
And he, this poor guy, you know, he's stuck with no ticker. The ticker was out for about 10, 15 minutes. So here he's got this batter at the plate. So he said the batter, you know, stepped out about a dozen times. He fouled off, you know, a dozen pitches. The pitcher dug mud out of his cleats. He was just winging it, making up stuff. And all of a sudden, the ticker starts working in, and the guy struck out in 3 pitches. but Mr. Reagan did not say that.
That's right. That's awesome.
It's the most eventful 3-pitch at bat.
Yeah. That's right.
An epic at bat.
A 15-minute at bat, you know, which actually took about 90 seconds. So.
Mighty Casey has struck out.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Yeah, I don't think that I would consider those the good old days, you know.
No, not for radio.
Not for radio.
Not for radio. We've come a long way.
Yes, we have.
We've come a long
way. We have. We have a lot of fun doing what we do, so.
Terry, there were some ball games played yesterday on the high school scene.
Let me find my score sheet here.
More than I would have thought for as raw of a day as it was.
It was
a brutal day.
It was not a fun day to be outdoors, no. In baseball, Alton Marquette beat Litchfield 13-0. Hillsborough picked up an 11-1 win over Brownstown. And Gillespie outscored Morrisonville 9-8. In softball, Gillespie 13, Morrisonville 2. Pena beat Greenville 7-4. And North Mac beat Springfield Lamphere 7-4. And in girls soccer, Hillsborough 7, North Mac nothing. And Greenville beat Metro East Lutheran 3-0, and I would read you the schedule for today, but I don't think anything's going to get played. So.
Yeah, that's definitely a tentative schedule.
It's just, it's cold.
It's cold.
It's a good day to take in basketball.
Like this, I mean, this part of March is not ideal. Like the other day, though, it was like 70 degrees.
70 degrees. Oh,
gorgeous.
I know.
Gorgeous. That was a good day for ball.
That was a good day for ball.
The day that preceded it and followed it, not so
It'll
much.
Be a high in the mid-50s tomorrow.
And remember, this is it for high school basketball in the state of Illinois.
Today's the last day.
Today's the last day of the regular of the season officially, and of course.
So you always tell a story. Denny Hell.
Denny,
saddest day of the year.
Saddest day of the year when the basketball season's over. Saddest day of the year. Yeah. So.
Driving home from Peoria and just kind of, and that is so true. Like, if you've ever gone to the state tournament, no matter what the year is, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But when you leave, when you're coming home, whether you leave that night after the game or you stay in a hotel and leave the next day, when you're driving back home, there is something sad about realizing basketball season's over.
It's just over. You know, didn't it just start? Well, no, it didn't. It was 4 months long.
Two semesters covered.
You know, but it seemed like it just started 2 weeks ago, you know? And the one thing that I've always commented on for postseason tournament play is the fact that teams that go to the state tournament, a lot of times the tournament happens so quickly over a span of 3 weeks that you don't really get to enjoy it. You know, in regional play, in the old days, you'd probably play 3 games in a regional tournament. Anymore, 2 games now. But, you know, you'd have basically a 3 week period where you play upwards of 8 or 9, 10 games and it's done. And then you go, where did it go?
You're exactly right. And think about the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah.
A week ago, they picked 68 teams.
Mm-hmm.
1 week later, there'll be 16 left.
Yeah.
It's just wham, bam, boom.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about the tournament. You know, the tournament is single elimination. You know, win or go home. And that's what makes the high school and the NCAA tournament so great.
And I just from my perspective as a kid, like growing up, it was always so fun, the fact that like back in the day when it was AAA, that it always crossed over.
Yeah.
So like you're up at the state tournament, but you got your bracket, you're watching the college games, you're going to the high school sessions. Like it was just, for a basketball fan, it doesn't get any better.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't.
You know, and Tim, we talked a little bit about, you know, the 4-class system and how to improve it, I've done some research, just pulled up some information, and you know, there's been some talk. The thing of it is, the state tournament is locked into Peoria through 2020, so nothing really will change between now and then. A couple more years, and you know, Peoria, a great venue. The March Madness experience does an awful lot to bring people in.
That revolutionized the entire experience.
And whoever gets the next contract is going to have something like that. But, and John Marty and I were talking about this earlier this week, you know, it is extremely possible that upon the next contract that the 3A and 4A tournament will move north. I don't think that's out of the question. Because most of your 3A and 4A schools do come from the northern part of the state, whereas the 1A and 2A tournament will probably stay in central Illinois, wherever it happens to be.
Yeah,
I mean, that's one possibility.
It's possible. I personally hope that doesn't
I don't happen. Want it to happen. I don't like that idea. I like it to stay, you know, if it stayed in Peoria, that's fine with me. I don't have a problem with
Peoria's
that.
Peoria's done a great job.
Yeah.
When it moved from Champaign, I was not happy.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? This is outrageous. You can't take the state tournament away from the state university. You're putting it at Bradley. This is just going to be terrible. Wrong.
Yeah.
It's been great. And the March Madness experience has a lot to do with that. But if who knows what happened in these negotiations.
Sure.
But if the University of Illinois steps up and says, we'll do the experience, that's where you have it.
That's
where you have it.
You know, that the question is, do they have the facilities to do it?
Right.
And could it be a temporary facility? I don't know. I don't know after the remodeling has been done what's available there at the University of Illinois. But certainly I would think they would probably be back in the mix as far as potential.
But like you said, if you can't have the experience,
you
can't have the state tournament.
Yeah.
And the thing about it being at the Peoria Civic Center, it's all in the same building.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go outside.
And it's
downtown.
You
walk in the experience,
you know,
right into the arena.
Yeah. The hotels are close. I mean, you can literally walk which is what we did. We, yep. you know, we walked two blocks and you're there. And, it really is a great venue, and the folks in Peoria are very nice, and do a great job of, you know, running the tournament. So I don't know. I don't know how to improve it. I do like your idea of the Super Four. You know, the Final Four, 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A winners get thrown into a tournament, and let's see who wins.
Hey, we have the King of the Hill for the three-point shooters. Yeah. Used to have the King of the Hill for the dunk contest before they got rid of it. Why not have a King and Queen of the Hill? Boom.
Yeah.
You do it all the same weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the same weekend.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fantastic. I think people would love it. And you know, well, the 1A team would never have a chance. I disagree. I just must disagree. I'm not going to sit here and say that this year that Oakville would beat Belleville West or Chicago yeah. Whitney Young. But you can't tell
me. But there was a time when Lawrenceville was Class 1A and they beat everybody.
There you go. Exactly.
You know.
The best 1A team in the state will be able to hold their own.
Yeah.
And I just think from an entertainment value, I think it'd be wildly
popular. I think it'd be
I think it'd be more popular than the actual state tournaments themselves in a lot of ways.
Yes. It does lend itself. And, you know, you could go to 10-minute quarters. You could go to a shot clock.
Right.
You could do a lot of different things because the season would be officially over, and this could be kind of a you know, experimental thing.
Yeah, it's a showcase.
A showcase thing.
Showcase for the greatness of Illinois high school basketball.
Yeah, you know, that would be where you would introduce a shot clock if you wanted to try a shot clock or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. And it'll never happen. But, boy,
it'd be
so
fun
cool.
to dream about it, though, just to put the top four teams from the state tournaments together. And, you know, people say, well, you'd have to have the 4A versus the 1A every time. No, you wouldn't. You just roll the peas, like, you know, and randomly make the draw.
That's right.
And if, you know, 3A and 4A play in the first game, so what?
So be it.
Yeah.
That's right.
And, cause that's how everything is set up now. It's all done at random.
Mm-hmm.
How the sectionals, feed into the super sectionals and feed into the state tournament. So
I will continue to dream. They can't take my dreams away, Terry.
Yeah,
that's the great thing about America. I will dream it, no matter how improbable it may be.
And to me, it's still the crown jewel
of
the IHSA, the state basketball tournament. And this year, they've gone to awarding all the trophies at the end of the state championship game, which I like because there's still people in the stands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So at least the kids that are, you know, in the third and fourth place teams, they may have to stick around a little while, but at least you get some people in the stands. So.
And the IHSA just did that so they didn't have to set up the tables an extra time, right?
Well, there you go.
That's just smart.
Yeah.
Why am I tearing this table down two times? We can do it once. It's more efficient.
That's right.
Hey, we need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. On the other side, we will talk with Abby Brockmeyer on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. We're going to have Abby Brockmeyer on the telephone in just a moment. I assume she's still down in Carbondale.
I assume so.
Had a great freshman year.
Oh, yeah, it's a terrific freshman year. And as we mentioned earlier in the program, I think the program is on track now, and better things await the Saluki women's basketball program. So,
and you know, when Abby came on the scene as a freshman in high school, I remember you were talking about it. There's this Brockmeyer kid in junior high. She's a load.
For 2 years, I was going, you just wait till Abby gets into high school.
I believed you, you know, because you don't, when you promote a kid like that, you're not doing it just for the sake of promotion. You actually do believe it, and your record stands along those lines. So I thought, okay, I'm sure that Abby Brockmeyer is legit. And then when I saw her play her freshman year, it's like, oh my gosh, like she's a freshman. And then I sort of had the same thought watching her this year with Carbondale, like, man, this is her freshman year?
Yeah. She certainly didn't look like a freshman. And now Abby's joining us on the phone. Abby, good morning.
Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hey, we're waiting for nice, warm, sunny weather to play outside, but we don't get it. So it's still watching basketball season.
Oh, yeah. March Madness.
Hey, congratulations on being named the Missouri Valley Conference Freshman of the Year. It's quite an honor and well-deserved. I don't know that anybody else worked as hard as you did to earn that award and We just are very, very proud that, of the fact that you were able to step in and really help that Saluki basketball team.
Thank you, Terry.
Abby, you mentioned the madness, and you guys had a little bit of that in your quarterfinal Valley tournament game. You guys, I think, were down 16 going into the fourth quarter and won. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we were down 18 with about, like, 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So, man, I don't know what happened. We finally kicked it into gear. It was in the fourth quarter and turned it around and really got things going. It was an awesome game. It was a lot of fun.
And, Abby, people who watch ball games, they don't understand sometimes it's a game of momentum. It's a game of, you know, runs, and that's what basketball has become anymore. And sometimes you know that there's a run left in you, and all of a sudden it hits, and then, man, you're off to the races.
That's right, yeah. Anymore, I mean in college, a 10-point lead isn't anything. Okay. You know, teams can turn around in a matter of a quarter just like we did.
Abby, as you look now to your next 3 years at Carbondale, I would imagine that the NCAA tournament is high on that list of priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. Something we were looking to do this year, but unfortunately, I think we're getting a little more mature. You know, our sophomores going to be juniors. We're going to be my class is going to be sophomores, and then we're getting some good incoming freshmen coming in. So I think the future is looking bright for us these next couple of years, especially even next year.
Yeah, a couple games that I happened to see, Abby, it seemed like the team gelled well together. You know, everybody was familiar with their teammates, and you knew that you had a teammate that was going to be able to catch a pass, and it just seemed like things were being pulled together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes back to just all the hours we spent practicing together. Like our coach always said, you know, we're such a young team that it's amazing going to see what we're going to do from here, you know, because we're only graduating one senior. So, I mean, and the opportunities are endless, I think.
I think you guys want to be the team that everybody circles on the calendar, don't you?
Absolutely, yes.
Abby, what do you expect from this offseason, which will be your first offseason, you know, in the program after having played? There's only so many hours that you can have official workouts and all that, but how do you anticipate you and your teammates working out, quote-unquote, unofficially throughout this offseason?
I expect a lot of probably one-on-one working out, like, as far as basketball, and then we'll just be getting in the weight room a lot, which I think will benefit me quite a bit, you know. Coming in, I felt about like I was a little weaker than I had originally thought I was going to be. So I think hitting the weight room all up until season starts, we'll be in there this summer and preseason. So, yeah, being in the weight room, I think it's going to be the biggest factor.
And that's probably what was one of the bigger changes going from high school to college was the focus on weight training.
Absolutely, yeah. In high school, I mean, I did a little bit of weightlifting, but nothing compares to, like, what I do now. So we'll lift from about 3 days a week when we're not in season. And then while we're in season, we actually lift about one day a week. So,
Abby, with the season over now and you know, basically time for you to work on your skills by yourself and with your teammates, I bet there's an awful lot of talk about goal setting for next year.
Absolutely. You know, definitely in this off season, two things I really want to focus on is my defense and then my outside shooting. I know as the season progressed, I kind of got more comfortable shooting outside. I did it a lot more than I did at the beginning of the season, but it's something like I want to work on a lot more and be able to, that be a weapon of mine next year. So, and then my defense, I felt like this year I kind of struggled with my defense at times, but I think that's just getting quicker. So that's obviously something we can do in the off season. And then goals as a team, I mean, the main goal is to win the Valley. I mean, there's nothing much more than that. Just have a successful season next year and hopefully win the Valley.
People don't realize how much faster the game is when you step up from high school to college.
Oh, It's a whole different ball game.
Abby, I was impressed. I think you wound up, for a good portion, I don't know what the final stats were, but I think you led the Salukis in rebounding this year. What is it like being down in the trenches in that type of environment?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I did. It's a little different than high school, that's for sure.
A few more elbows flying around.
Oh, man. The girls are a lot taller than they were in high school. I can't get away with the just jumping up and grabbing them. Yeah, my rebounds improved, I think. On the offensive end, that's where I got several of the rebounds. But, yeah, it's just about getting position, you know. I just have an eye for where the rebound's going to go, I guess. I don't know. I've always had that kind of talent. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's stuff you can't teach.
That's
either
right.
You have it
right,
or you don't. And, Abby, just from watching you from afar, you never looked out of place at all. Like, if I didn't know Abby Brockmeyer, I wouldn't have thought, oh, that girl's a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think that just goes back to my teammates, you know, putting confidence in us. You know, none of our teammates have looked down upon us freshmen, and especially our coach. Our coach thinks us freshmen do a great job. You know, we don't really get I don't think we ever get really nervous for a game, which is a good thing. I don't know. I just think to myself, it's a game, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like any other game, so I don't really try to get nervous. I think that helps me a lot.
Not getting nervous means you probably have somebody who's kind of a goofball on the team that keeps things rather light.
Absolutely, yeah. There's several of them.
Abby, as you look back on your freshman year, what are a couple of the things, whether they're on the court or off the court, they're going to stand out to you about your freshman season for the Salukis?
I think just moving into college, you know, meeting all these girls on my team. I mean, the team's unbelievable. I love every one of them. I just think it was great that I got to play as much as I did and did what I did. You know, I didn't really expect a lot coming in. And I don't know, it's just good to be in such good shape and be playing basketball all the time. So,
time of your life.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're looking forward for the Salukis to get into the NCAA basketball tournament and make some noise here in the near future. So
that's the plan.
Yeah. Abby, congratulations again. Great season and a great representative of the listening area. And we're so very proud of you. And we look forward to catching up to you maybe sometime during the summertime and just chewing the fat about basketball again, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks.
Okay. Abby Brockmeyer.
Remember the name.
There you go. Now a Saluki.
There you go.
Yeah.
Freshman of the year.
Freshman of the year.
In the Valley.
In the Valley. That's pretty hard to fathom when you think about it. Especially coming from a small school.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you know, they play, like Litchfield was technically a 3A team. Yeah. They were not a 3A team. They played a 2A schedule. Yeah. They were a 2A school.
Yeah.
And now, 1 year later, she's the best freshman in the Missouri Valley Conference.
How about that?
That's
that's pretty amazing. So, and you know, there's some good genetics involved there. I'll admit, you know, with the Brockmeyer line and there's been some good basketball players along the way, and so she's been exposed to a lot of the good stuff about basketball. Hey, so
hard work's important.
Yeah.
You know, drive's important. Yeah. Genetics matter.
Oh, genetics.
DNA is a real thing.
Yeah.
It matters.
Yeah, it does. And you know, she early on kind of picked it up just to kind of look back over her career that we were able to observe here at the high school level was pretty amazing. And especially when they even got into the 3A regionals, you know, she was still the best player on the floor.
Exactly.
And, you know, didn't have to back down from anybody, so.
She's only gonna get better.
She's only gonna get better, and really, the Saluki women's team, they need a jolt. They need, some runs into the NCAA basketball tournament to help build that program. And I think they've got the people there that's going to be able to do that. So
wheels are in motion.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Yeah. It just, you know, and we say it a lot of time. It just takes time. Yeah. But they've got the personnel they need it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So
the Salukis on the rise in the southern part of the state. Loyola Chicago representing Illinois in the NCAA tournament. At least somebody from the state is doing something.
And good luck to Belleville West and to Springfield Southeast in the 3A and 4A tournaments, respectively, at Carver Arena in Peoria. And I tell you what, it'd be great to have a couple of state championships back in our neck of the woods, huh?
Could happen.
Yeah.
Could happen.
So
that's two great games with Southeast taking on Morgan Park. Yeah. You got Belleville West taking on Whitney Young. You can't ask for more than that. Two powerhouse teams from our neck of the woods against two powerhouse Chicago Public League schools.
There you go.
If you draw it up at the IHSA offices, you can't really get much
better you
than
can't.
That.
You can't. And I've heard a couple complaints about, too many Chicago teams.
No.
If you want the best state tournament, you've got to have the Chicago Public League teams in there. They have to be, well represented.
It's like the NCAA brackets. Yeah. Everybody loves the upset. Yeah. But if UMBC is in the Final Four, people aren't going to be happy.
No.
People will not be. We love the upset. You've had your moment. Now go away.
You want the blue bloods.
We want the top dog.
That's right. Hey, that's going to do it for Sports Saturday air on this Saturday morning. We hope you have a great St. Patrick's Day and then feast on, whatever you want
anything green.
Anything you want to imbibe, and lots of basketball, okay?
Cardinal baseball today.
And Cardinal baseball, 11:45 today and again tomorrow on AM 1540, FM 106.9. And our first broadcast for baseball for real is coming up on Thursday, March the 29th. That's when the Redbirds start the regular season.
Right around the corner.
All right. That's going to do it for this weekend. Have a great sporting weekend. You're listening to WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. It is 10 o'clock.